News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Celebrating a stronger-than-expected jobs report for September from the Labor Department, 254,000 new jobs created, and the unemployment rate ticking down for a second straight month, President Biden in the White House briefing room.
The nation has now created 16 million jobs since I've come to office, more jobs created in a single presidential term than any time in American history.
The president also cautioning Israel against attacking Iranian oil facilities. Worries about that have raised oil prices on world markets. Local officials say as many people missing have been located after Hurricane Helene, many others remain unaccounted for. Total deaths at least 215. Vice President Harris touting the economy at a rally today with union members, firefighters, and others in Flint, Michigan. Mr. Trump campaigning in Georgia with Governor Brian Kemp. Supreme Court has left in place two Biden administration regulations aimed at reducing emissions of planet-warming methane and toxic mercury. This is ABC News. The Supreme Court says it will hear the case of a straight woman who says she was discriminated against in the workplace. ABC News national correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
The case involves an Ohio woman who says after 20 years in state government, she was not only passed over for a promotion, but she was also demoted. The woman says both of the positions were given to LGBTQ people. She's hoping the justices overturn the appeals court rulings that require what are called background circumstances, such as a pattern of discrimination against a majority group, or that the hiring decisions were made by members of the minority group in question. And neither was true in her case.
A manhunt underway in Hall County, Texas, after the police chief was shot Thursday night. Memphis, Texas Police Chief Rex Plant and another officer went to arrest a person suspected of burglary, Seth Altman. And when officials say Altman shot Plant as he approached Altman's home, Chief Plant was flown to University Medical Center in Lubbock, stable condition. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden plans to return to Wisconsin Tuesday. More from Terry Bell.
The White House says the president will talk about the billions of dollars his administration has put into replacing lead pipes thanks to the bipartisan infrastructure law. Lead exposure is a long-standing problem in Milwaukee, which is replacing lead pipes to the tune of $800 million. Mayor Cavalier Johnson has said he wants to replace all of Milwaukee's lead pipes in 20 years. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin wildlife officials are asking hunters to share deer tissue samples from the Oneida County town of Stella. The Department of Natural Resources plans to test these samples for PFAS. A local paper mill is linked to extremely high levels of PFAS in Stella. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Heartbreak in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers went into the ninth inning with a lead yesterday, but a three-run home run by Pete Alonso ended Milwaukee's season. Manager Pat Murphy said he is disappointed for his players after a great season.
I love this team. You know, I love them. I love. I'll never be able to duplicate 2024, and it didn't end the way we wanted to, and you know, tragically, actually, you know, it felt like it. and it felt like a tragedy.
Meanwhile, the Green Bay Packers will try to bounce back this week as they play the L.A. Rams on Sunday after losing last week to the Minnesota Vikings. Head coach Matt LaFleur said Jordan Love will be another week healthier this week after some struggles last week.
It's hard to go out there and when you just don't have a lot of practice or you have a lot of time off and expect to be.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is the Luke Fickle Radio Show, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Find your next new or used car at ZimbrickFishHatcheryRoad.com. Also brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Badgers, Matt LaPay.
From the Evans Transportation Victory Hall here at Camp Randall Stadium. Welcome to Camp Randall Live with head coach Luke Fickle, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Badgers back home. A Saturday matchup against the Purdue Boilermakers. Kickoff will be 11 a.m. right here at the stadium. Sold out, Camp Randall Stadium. All the tickets gone. So be here for that 11 a.m. kickoff against the Boilermakers. On tonight's show, we'll recap last week, look ahead to this week. We'll also hear from defensive line coach E.J. Whitlow. He'll be our guest here tonight. And first coach Tausch, after spending 2 weeks in California and
advanced scouting.
Advanced scouting. A lot of vino, or maybe a glass or two of vino, right? Yep. You made it back. It's good.
Made it back. So, Coach, I'm going to quick turn the tables here.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I don't need to talk about my wine. Are you a wine guy?
No, not particularly. I mean, I do drink some wine.
Sure.
Fine wine.
I'm not asking you to break down the tannins and all that good stuff.
No.
We got Beckman over there. He can fix that. He can tell you all about that. So Matt said 11 o'clock. And I know you're going to say we'll play whenever, but it's kind of nice. You get your day, you get up and get right at him. Is that your favorite time to play or?
It is. I mean, I really do think so. I don't always think that it's the best. You know, the guys love it the most, right? I don't know that they think that's the greatest atmosphere. I don't know that they like the 6:45 wake-up call. I think they kind of, you know, don't mind it when it's a 9 o'clock or an 8:30 wake-up call. But I do think it's the best. It's get up, it's go. It's been a long week. You know, these guys are prepared, and there's nothing more that they want than, hey, let's get up and roll.
Yeah, and you looked at that, how it played out last week. You could not have asked. You want your guys to start fast. The first half could not have been drawn up any better from your perspective out in California.
Yeah, the number one objective last week and the plan to win was to start fast, to play fast, to start fast. And they did. They came out the first half and really played well, both sides of the ball. You know, defensively, I thought we did a really good job and got some of those stops and then offensively created some big plays and even special teams-wise. So, it's the start of it was, and the plan was, yeah. I mean, you going on the road in particular out there, it was, hey, we have to get out to a really good start and understand that, you know, there's going to be a firepower back, and they're going to fire back. But, you know, if you don't put yourself in that situation, which, you know, I think we haven't done great in the first few, it's even a more difficult situation.
The ongoing topic of the first few games was getting the big plays, and you get one. I mean, Braden throws a perfect ball to Vinny Anthony, who can, like, people are, we've talked about him, like, this kid can really run. They saw that, right? I mean, there's a lot of physical ability with Vinny, isn't there?
Yeah, and he hasn't had nearly as many of those opportunities, and I think that's one of those things where you start to see, like, okay, we got to give him some more opportunities. And I don't mean that in, like, he hasn't had balls thrown to him or there's not plays that are called that, hey, he starts with the progression. But, I mean, just truly plays where, hey, if you think it's some one-on-one coverage, give him a chance to go for those 50-50 balls and let's make them more 50-50 balls or 60-40 balls. But if you never throw them, you never give them the opportunity, you don't know where that percentage lies. And so he's done a really good job. He did a good job, you know, last weekend. And I just think that we got to find more ways to use him and give him some of those opportunities.
Yeah, and when you look at how the rest of that half played, you talked all – you've been talking on this week about complementary football, but the punting game and what that did, flipping the field and then forcing the fumble – scoring on that, everything kind of fell into place. And then what do you think? So how do you explain the second half?
Have you been with me all week? I mean, that would, we'd need a lot of wine to be able to.
You want to talk about wine?
Yeah, we can get back on. If we got any good bottles, we can hit that.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Obviously, momentum and energy and things like that, especially on the road, are so critical. And we did a great job of that in the first half. And as the start of the second half happened, you know, it was like it was three and out to start with because you're getting the ball. You get a stop, and then you turn the ball over on the punt return team. Which is what it is, right? I mean, you got to go out back out there and get a stop. You go 10 plays to go 30 yards, and you have three third downs, a third and 15 included in there. That, give them credit, they made some really big plays. But, okay, so it's like it wasn't one of those things that was a complete gut punch, right? I mean, okay, we turn it over. We had opportunities. We had a chance, you know, three third downs. So it wasn't like you were like, felt like, oh, goodness sakes, this thing's gone the other direction. And then, obviously, I think the fourth down stop, coupled with another, you know, big play or something like that. Then when the thing started rolling, I think that's probably one of our things. Like, how do we find a way? Who's going to step up? Who's going to be the guy that kind of has a chance to shift this momentum back? Because that's what the game is, right? It's a game of momentum. It's a game of energy. And when you have it, you got to keep it. And when you don't have it, you got to find a way to get it. And sometimes that means, okay, we got to find a way. We got to put the ball up to Vinny. We got to give some of these guys an opportunity. We got to, you know, sell out a little bit more, which we did defensively. Mm-hmm. You know, we went on a zero pressure and they made the play. Then we went on an 8-man drop and they made the play. And it was like, we got to keep going down the line and we got to find a way to shift the
energy. Yeah, because it really, you just watching it, you could tell the guys were empty in their buckets on defense. I mean, it was a hard hitting, I thought aggressive, but you just couldn't find a way to get off the field on third down. And then then it just becomes their confidence grows. And so, and you try, it wasn't like you sat back and you tried a bunch of different stuff.
No, we did. And you know, I hate to say, give them credit because they're good players, but even those, most of those third downs were throw up shots, right? I mean, and I don't know that whether you're in man or you're in zone, you know, sometimes somebody's got to go up and make a play. And we did go down the line of all different things. And I will give the defensive credit in the sense that, yes, we didn't get off the field on third down. I don't think their philosophy is to throw the ball up and to think that we're just going to make, you know, six or seven or eight of those of 10 catches. That's what happened. They did. The three of the touchdowns were obviously just shots up in the air. That's not been who they have been. In some ways, you were doing the things you wanted to do, making them methodically, you know, drive the ball and use all the things in their arsenal. But when it came down to it, those big plays on third down in particular, the throw-ups, you know, was where we didn't make the play. And then vice versa offensively, you know, the second half, to be honest, they came out and softened their coverage up, to be honest. You know, they didn't drop down seven guys in the box and eight guys in the box and play the zero hole like they did in the first half because we hit them on some shots. And so they played a little bit softer, and they played a little bit more, not cover two, but, you know, high safeties and then rolling down late. And we just didn't take control like we did in the first half of the line of scrimmage, I think, as much as anything. And it was not that something they did to say, okay, we're going to load the box. It was more like, hey, they just kind of got on edges and said, we're going to play a little bit faster and a little bit quicker off the edges. And it caused us some issues.
What's the rule of thumb? I guess, you know, Alex Grantz or Paul Haynes would be, you know, the perfect guys. We work in that part of the defense. But when you
going to ask about coverage and he doesn't want to ask me. Like, yeah, okay, we're just dumb linemen, right? We're just dumb linemen.
Line stumps,
I mean, we could say that about offensive linemen, but you don't have to. I mean,
well, I was trying to help you out, but okay. Forget it. What's the rule of thumb? When they have a receiver, there's 6'4", another who's 6'6". They make, you know, they get it up and they use their size to their advantage. If you're a corner and you're not that tall, you're 5'10", or, you know, Xavier Lucas is 6'2". But what's the general rule of thumb when you're up against, when you're looking up at the receiver you're trying to defend?
You got to get on him a little earlier. Yeah. I think you got to really disrupt the route. If a guy has size on you, hopefully what you have is speed and quickness and some things like that. And those guys are big and they can run, but I think what you do, you have to be able to get in. You have to kind of disrupt it, because if it is a really good pass, the advantage does go to the guy with the size. And especially if the way they did it was going up with strong hands. I think we got to do a better job at disrupting that earlier in the down so that the timing isn't perfect. Because with the size, when the timing's perfect, it does advantage to the offensive side. But defensively, I think early in the down, the advantage is to you, okay, when those guys aren't quite as quick off the ball and can't stack guys and things like that. So I think as we look back, we got to be physical at the line of scrimmage. We got to be on guys a little bit more, even on like the, you know, the last one on Hunter on third and six on the 6 or 7 yard line or whatever. Like, you really can't give them the opportunity for it just to be a jump ball. We got to get on those guys, put our hands on them, because in college ball, the one good thing about being able to play coverage, you're allowed to touch guys past 5 yards. Mm-hmm. Not when the ball's in the air, but I just think we got to get on guys earlier, especially when they're big.
All right, we will take a break. Again, E.J. Whitlow, defensive line coach, will join us a bit later in the program. We'll take a break. More of the Luke Fickell Show, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road, coming up on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Need reliable waste and recycling services? Choose LRS. Driven by service and dedicated to sustainability, we're your partner in efficient waste management. Need more? We also offer convenient dumpster rentals and clean portable restrooms for any event or project. Trust LRS for all your waste needs. Visit LRSRecycles.com to sign up for service. That's LRSRecycles.com.
If you want to be a running back, there's only one place to go. Running Back U, baby. Right here at Wisconsin, where legendary players and unbeatable records are born. And when you want to defeat cancer, there's only one place to go. UW Health Carbone Cancer Center, where our own unbeatable team takes on cancer like no other hospital. From pioneering new treatments to defeating cancers no one else could, right here is where the best of the best come together to change the game. UW Health Carbone Cancer Center. Remarkable.
Hey Badger fans, ready or not, Wisconsin winter will be here before you know it. Trust your knowledgeable AirQuest dealer to deliver comfort and exceptional efficiency with an advanced heating and cooling system from AirQuest. To find the AirQuest dealer near you, visit AirQuestComfort.com and ask about our local utility rebates, financing for qualified buyers, and tax credits of up to $2,600. Surround yourself with affordable, long-lasting comfort with AirQuest. That's AirQuestComfort.com, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Hey Badger fans, the 2024 football season is here and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the touchdown celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin football games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
The men and women of the Wisconsin Operating Engineers operate the heavy equipment that builds our roads, bridges, and schools. But did you know they also build the wind and solar farms that supply clean energy to our homes and businesses? They install the broadband infrastructure that helps provide high-speed internet to every corner of Wisconsin. Build your career with the Wisconsin Operating Engineers. Visit join139.com to learn more.
Badger fans, visit uwbadgers.com/contest to enter for your chance to be the Culver's VIP family at a UW football game this season. Four families will be selected for the chance to compete for cash on the field at halftime. That's uwbadgers.com/contest. We continue with the Luke Fickell Show, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Rare occasion here. Tausch is outnumbered, the old lineman. You got a couple D linemen here as we welcome E.J. Whitlow, defensive line coach. Warm welcome for Coach Whitlow. Mark, you were doing something that, I mean, you were, for an offensive lineman to praise a defensive lineman, did you, I mean, you could, you had a reason to do it, but that'd be tough for you.
Yeah, I was really impressed out in USC with Elijah Hills, what he was able to do. I mean, he wore out their right guard and they benched him. And it was, he false started. What is it, you get into that kind of rhythm. He was really a wreck in that first half. What have you seen in his development so far?
The big thing, I think he's just been coming with the mindset of trying to get better every single day and embracing that. And we talked a lot about the winning habits and what it takes. And you got to do it on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday if you want to go out and perform on Saturday. And he's really been embracing that.
Any of the other young guys that you're really excited about kind of stepping in and seeing what as this season continues to unfold?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you have Brandon Lane. I know he's not a young guy, but he's a young guy to the program. He's been progressing week in, week out, and has been getting better. And then you have Dylan Johnson as well, as a guy that's just been plugging away every single day of trying to make improvements.
How do you figure out when someone's got a hot hand, and you want to make sure everybody's rested, how do you kind of figure out when to pull a guy out, when to, is it just set? Is that
he's asking this because O-linemen don't get breaks, so they don't get those rest times. Well, they have a hot hand all the time.
We're in much better shape. We can actually finish
as
game,
we can tell
all
day.
No, not now. I'm not saying now. But how do you figure that out as far as your rep? You know, how you rotate guys and things like that.
Well, the big thing is, like you say, you have to first off have the trust in the other guys in the room that you can roll guys and that there's no drop off, and you just want to keep guys fresh, and they understand that. If you're playing the game the right way and getting to the ball and you need a blow, hey, we got another guy that's coming in and ready to go. And it's not being selfish, right? Being a team guy and understanding that there's a right way to play the game and we got to play that way.
You mentioned Dylan Johnson. Remember, I was talking to Ben Barton about him a few weeks ago. And he, you know, Ben's been around a little bit. And he said Dylan Johnson is one of the strongest dudes he's ever run across. He's a true freshman playing on the defensive line. That's a big ask. But, you know, the wrestling background and all that, I mean, you're smiling. So, like, Ben's speaking the truth, it sounds like.
Oh, right? Yeah, definitely. Dylan is, I mean, some of the things that he can do in the weight room, upper body, lower body, I mean, it's insane, man. He's got some big, heavy hands on him, some big mitts, and he's strong as an ox, man. So, definitely.
Is it true, too, they say with wrestlers, too, the leverage, I mean, with that sport, and that translates perfectly to what he's attempting to do right now?
Yeah, like I say, obviously playing D-line is about leverage and feeling body position and feeling the guy leaning on you if he's too heavy on you or if you've got the leverage underneath him in his pad level. And he does a really good job of just having that feel of body position of a guy.
Let's backtrack a little bit. We mentioned this. It's Coach Whitley.
Leverage at 6 foot tall helps too, or 6'1", I should say.
Helps with the leverage. Yes. Let's backtrack a little bit. I mentioned it's Coach Whitlow's first year here. The last 2 years at Air Force, one of the best defenses right in the country. Right before you came here, take us through the process of making the move here to Madison University, Wisconsin, and how things have gone for you and your family.
Oh man, it's been awesome. First off, with the people and the support here at Wisconsin, man, just. The fans, the support staff, administration, everybody made the transition extremely, extremely smooth for me and my family. And then obviously the coaching staff, right? You spend a lot of time with these guys. You spend a lot of time, I mean, more time with them than sometimes your own family. And it's truly a family environment here. And it's something that you got a smile on your face every single day when you come in to work and work with these guys and to coach the guys that we coach, right? We have awesome young man. That you get to work with every single day. So the transition has been fantastic being here.
Did it help for you? I assume it did, but I'll ask. You know, Matt Mitchell, you coached it. He was obviously the coach of Grand Valley. You were there with him. Did that help ease the transition for you into the Wisconsin program?
Oh, yeah. Anytime you come to a place and you have a prior relationship with people, it makes it smooth, right? There's things that you may not know or this is how it goes, and you can – lean on to somebody and ask questions. And obviously, like I say, me and Mitch worked together for 4 years out in Grand Valley State. So 100%.
Is Coach Fickell, you know, come back showing old film from when he was playing inside and giving you added tips as far as like what are some drills and things like that that you can help when maybe you're looking for some fresh ideas?
Oh, 100%. Like I say, Coach Fick is awesome. He always finds his way over to the D-line Indy, and he ain't afraid to get his hand down and dirty and get over there with us in the trenches. So I absolutely love it, you know.
The game's changed a little bit, you know, so I've tried not to implement some of the things that we did when I was in school or even coaching it. So I try to steer clear as much I can to the D-line and linebackers because that can sometimes be the more difficult positions to coach with somebody kind of always kind of hovering over.
Having like, ideas.
Like you do with the offensive line down there hovering, in the shade while figure, we practice.
Yes,
you know,
that's,
you know.
We're
real line coach knows
again,
that.
Again, we keep telling you work smarter, not harder. So, EJ, Ben Barton, the veteran, tell us how important he's been to kind of help some of the development of some of the younger guys.
I mean, Ben's been awesome. Like, he's a tremendously smart individual. So you can put a lot of things on his plate that he can handle. And then, obviously, he's been a guy that's been in the program, been in the system, and he's a team player. So he's always trying to take those younger guys, grab them under the wing, hey – you know, try this or do this, or whether it's game plan information, and he sits down and spends extra time with them. Like, we have a really good culture in there of, you know, looking out for one another, and he does an awesome job with that.
I would say something about him, too. His role, obviously, not just playing, but being a leader has grown because of, you know, James Thompson going down. So when James went down, it threw a lot more onto Ben's plate. Not that he can't handle it, but I think he's kind of embraced that in being a little bit more of that leader in the room, being that, you know, more of a guy that's on the field. He's obviously having to play a lot more, you know, when you, you know, kind of lose a guy that would have been in that role of another 40 to 45 to 50 plays a game. I think that's thrown a lot on his plate, but I've been impressed with how he's been able to handle that.
Didn't you put the nickname Professor on him last year, Ben Barton?
I'm not sure somebody, I put somebody
did.
On him.
Somebody did.
But I had to be able to tell a couple of parts. So, yeah, he was just a professor for about 6-8 months.
Yeah, well, now they just call him Dad. He's the married guy on
yeah.
the team.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, he gives such praise to all those. You know, it was Cade McDonald. We mentioned Dylan Johnson. I mean, having a guy like Ben, it means a lot more than what a stat line maybe could show you.
Yeah, and I think his role, like I said, not just because James has, you know, obviously got hurt, but from the spring on, he's a guy that, I'll be honest with you, I think that where he was, you know, even when we walked in the door a year and a half ago to where he is now is a far cry. And that's not because he's just had great coaches. You know? That's because, you know, he really wants to. He's dedicated himself. He's kind of recognized he's gained some confidence in the things that he does. And I think he's going to continue to grow.
And one of the things Coach Whitlow, he describes you is that you tell your guys, take your shots. Like, shoot your shot. You know, there's that, you know, lineman, you're going to occupy guys. Linebackers going to make a play. But you want your guys to go, you know, go get it, right, when they can.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, as the frontline defense, you got to be aggressive. You can't play passive. You can't play timid, right? And you got to try to wreak some havoc. You know, havoc plays make a difference in winning and losing. And so you can't be gun-shy. I mean, you just got to be aggressive, and you got to go. You got to be willing to shoot your shot.
By the way, props to James Thompson, too, because he's around every day. You know, he's around. I mean, it's a tough spot for him right now, right? But he's there every day with the guys, and that's, I mean, that probably is very important to James. But I think if you're the other guys on that D-line, that means something to see him there, doesn't it?
100%. I mean, obviously James has a tremendous amount of character, and obviously it sucks to have a situation like that where you get hurt, and that's unfortunate. But, you know, there's one or two ways that you can go about it. You can sulk, or you can say, hey, you know what, my role may have shifted. Well, I'm going to go attack that role to the best of my ability. And that's what James has done. He's done a good job of being a leader and having energy and showing up and being engaged every single day, whether it's meetings or practice. And that's just a sign of being a leader and embracing that role. So he's been awesome.
I mean, I think he's out there every day with his helmet, even though he can't practice. And
yeah,
actually, sleds. We kind of have a rule, like, you know, you dress in the dress of the day. But I mean that with a guy that has, like, a twisted ankle, or, you know, he can't go because he's got a bad wrist or something. And then every single day he's coming out damn near in full pads,
like,
and got his helmet.
I'm
like,
sling, and he's got a helmet on. And I'm like, yeah. Hey, whatever. I mean, everybody, it's hot. And we're sitting there up in the shade complaining it was getting too cold. And James is down there helmeted up with his sleeve. So,
I admit my softness at all times. I don't even try to hide it. Coach, before we let you go, just give us your general thoughts as you get ready for Purdue and what you see from that group up front. What are your guys up against?
100%. I mean, they do a good job of running the football. I mean, the center is a guy that's a veteran guy, played a lot of snaps, and he's a really good player. Running back runs extremely hard, and we got to do a good job of containing the quarterback. You know, he does a good job with his legs. So, I mean, we got to bring it.
Yeah, that center, Gus Hartwig, I felt like I called his name when Tiller was coaching. So you're right, he's been there seemingly forever and a big part of what they do. So, well, belated welcome to Madison, the Madison area, and being a Wisconsin Badger. Appreciate you coming out tonight.
Oh, no, I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, good luck to you on Saturday. Coach E.J. Whitlow, a defensive line boss here for the Badgers. Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Find your next new or used car at ZimbrickFishHatcheryRoad.com, a proud sponsor of Wisconsin Athletics. We'll take a break. More of the Luke Fickell Show coming up in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Hey friends, Mats and Matt here for Brewpub Lots of Mats and Pizza. You know, so many people are stuck in the moat of mundaneness when it comes to their frozen pizza choice. Same cardboard crust, flavorless sauce, second-rate cheese. You know, all the assumptions of a frozen pizza. Well, it's time to ditch the downer and throw out that theory by diving into a Brewpub Lots of Mats and Pizza. Thin, cracker-like crust, a bold, tasty sauce, high-quality meat and veggie toppings, and bombarded with over half a pound of award-winning mozzarella cheese. There's nothing humdrum about a Brewpub pizza. See for yourself. Snag one today from the frozen pizza section at your local grocery store.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that American Family Insurance agents can help build a customized renter's policy so you can protect stuff like this, or this, or even this. Well, case in point, life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Join the Wisconsin Department of Corrections to make a positive impact on lives across the state. Enjoy an excellent state benefits package and a nationally ranked pension program. The Wisconsin DOC is hiring social workers starting at $30 per hour, providing counseling and programming services, including substance use disorder programming to those in our care. To learn more and to apply, go to wisc.jobs. That's WISC.jobs.
With the Badgers, every touchdown is more than just a touchdown. It's a testament to the teamwork, elbow grease, and can-do attitude it takes to make it to the end zone. And while our fields aren't the kind you throw passes on, Case IH knows every successful farm is more than just a farm. It's the product of top-notch tillage, planting, harvesting, hay, and forage equipment at the hands of hardworking growers. Settle the score with superior tools by visiting your local Case IH dealer or go to caseih.com/badgers. On Wisconsin.
College sports fans now have access to hundreds of weekly podcasts that zero in on the college sports world. Now available in the Varsity Podcast Network and part of the new Varsity app. The app is free and available from wherever you get your favorite apps. Download the Varsity app today to have access to hundreds of national podcasts as well as your favorite team-focused podcasts. The Varsity Podcast Network, now available for free on the Varsity app. Download from the App Store and listen today.
Hi, it's Matt LePay, voice of the Badgers. On the field, the Badgers are always on the move. Off the field, that's where Evans Transportation comes in. As Wisconsin's 3PL, they move over 30,000 shipments a year right here in the Badger State. That's dedication to keep things moving here in Scotty. Evans is excited to support Badger student-athletes and is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Find them at evanstrans.com. That's evanstrans.com. Go Badgers!
Badgers take on Purdue on Saturday at Camp Randall Stadium, 11 a.m. kick. Also 11 o'clock kick Central Time a week from Saturday when the Badgers hit the road going out to Piscataway to take on Rutgers. So first things first, 11 a.m. for the Boilers. We'll get coaches' thoughts on the Boilermakers in a few minutes. Kind of the weekly update here with Tyler Van Dyke. As I said last week, you know, you always hesitate. How you doing? Well, I just had a big surgery. How do you think I'm doing? But under the circumstances, you know, the rehab is just starting, obviously, with him. But, you know, I think he popped by a little bit today. Just have, again, if he's being around.
He wanted to travel with us this past weekend. The docs wouldn't let him. Okay. And it wouldn't have been a good thing. I mean, that first week or so from you know, all the stuff that he had done was going to be a tough time, right? I mean, just some pain and some things like that. So it wasn't obviously a good situation to travel, but he wanted to travel. And he's out there every single day. He's got a headset on. He's engaged as much as he possibly can. And don't get any ideas. It's like there's no way he's making it back right now. I mean, and, you know, he understands that. But the process of getting better has started for him, and I'm happy for that.
That'd be a help for Braden, though, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Just somebody to bounce some things off of.
He's played a lot of football now.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's not like it was just he's only played four or five games. I mean, he's played a lot of football in the last 3 years. And obviously a little bit of football to start this year. And that connection with Braden has been a really good thing, you know, I mean, from the time that he came in here in January to now. And so he relies upon that. And obviously guys see things a little bit different, and they're in that room. And, you know, they like to talk about the coaches sometimes, right? I don't know how you guys used to do that, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, complain.
Yeah, complain. And so at least he's got somebody that he could,
yeah,
you know.
It's always good to be able to bounce something off, and you know that they're not going to go back and tell the coaches what the hell they
Otherwise, all he's got in there is the young guys. He's got Mabry or something. I mean, so now he can at least have a guy that's been battling, like, oh, yeah, that was a dumb call or something. So I think it's good for both. Obviously, maybe even a little bit better for Braden and us because, you know, I think he does have a great perspective.
Braden is such – anybody who's ever met Braden Locke, you take you like 3 seconds to realize, man, this guy's pretty mature for such a young guy. Well, I would imagine you guys noticed that pretty quickly in the process. But where are you seeing him – where are you seeing his growth last year when he was thrown into it under tough circumstances, his growth last year to what you're seeing now?
Well, I mean, I think he does have a better grasp. I think that's one of those things. I think when you recognize and know that – you know, this is kind of your show. You know, last year, even in the situation you got thrown into, even in the next 3 or 4 weeks, you kind of, you know, were thinking, okay, well, when Tanner comes back, it's going to be his opportunity. So I think, not that he took that any different, not that he would prepare any different, but I do think that, you know, this opportunity where he's at now, obviously being further along, is much different. But I think more than anything, I think just the respect that he has from the guys that are around him. You know, and that's the stuff that you do through the offseason. That's the stuff that you do even in the battle. And don't think that the way he handled not being named the starter doesn't go a long way with the guys in that locker room when all of a sudden you become the guy. And he did it in the way that you would want to script it out to do it because it's not easy. I don't care what position. I don't care who said what or that guy's better and everybody thinks this guy. Like, it's still a battle and it's still a tough situation, especially at that position. And he did everything the right way, and I think it's paying off.
Yeah, Coach, I heard one of your comments at your press conference about you're not going to play 4 and 5 running backs anymore, and you're going to try and kind of get it down where you can maybe, as the old ball coach here said, get somebody lathered up, Ronnie. And there is something about having that.
I don't know
that,
if Ronnie's coming off the side.
Maybe not, but that the principle of just kind of having somebody find their rhythm and rolling with them throughout a game, and I guess I'm just kind of curious where you're at with that.
No, I think that's one of those things that, you know, I don't spend a ton with the offense. I mean, I'm in there a bit, and I think that's kind of the thing that I've kind of poked at him with. You know, I mean, through the first few weeks, we knew that there was kind of a stable of guys, but we got to figure out who you're going to give those opportunities to because it is hard. It is hard to get into a rhythm for some of those guys. And the unique thing is they all have a little bit of a different skill set. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you get too much into, hey, how can we use each and every guy when in the reality, just like you talked to with the defensive line. I mean, you know, it's not okay for the defensive line guy to play 78 snaps. It's just we don't have somebody that's going to do that. We don't have somebody that we want to do that. But it's the same thing as a running back. We don't need you to play all 74 snaps and carry the ball all 38 times that we run. But, like, it's hard to continue to bring in 3 or 4 guys. So we're going to do a better job. We're going to figure out who that kind of looks like and who do we give the opportunities to and then give them the chances. And if they get hot, I mean, obviously we won't be doing as much of the rotation.
Yeah, and I thought another thing that you said that was really interesting was the O-line and, you know, the first half really I thought played well. And then in that second half, you want to put more on that group as an offensive unit.
We do, and we've done that, and we continue to do that. And I don't say we didn't do that in the second half, but obviously, you know, the way things started to go, we couldn't and didn't do a good enough job of controlling the line of scrimmage and establishing, you know, those drives that we had done even in the first few games, in the first few weeks. I mean, if there's one thing that was consistent in the ability to move the football and to drive it, I didn't say we always finished it. I didn't say we always created the big plays. The second half, I would say if there's anything that we were going to try to lean on was that, and that's just what we didn't get done.
Yeah, and how much do you take into account the time of possession? Because even in the first half, obviously it was warm, beautiful Southern California day, but even with taking the lead, you looked at that time of possession, and it was a pretty big disparity. How much do you factor into that?
I don't know. I mean, there's obviously some things you start to worry about as you get in, you know, into the second half, saying, okay, how many plays have we played? How many times? How long have these guys been on the field? We try to do a good job at rolling, so I don't know that that's, you know, something that you overly worry about, because I think we've got enough guys that we're playing, but it does start to wear on you. And You know, I don't want to say you don't want to score quick because, you know, I think the fourth play or the fifth play was a long touchdown.
And people are going to ask why you're not having big plays.
So yeah, so there's a balance there, but I think that's it's twofold. That's that complementary football that we're talking about. There's coming out the second half, I did want and think we could control the thing and let's say, hey, not just say, okay, we're going to go 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but the idea of, hey, how do we establish this thing? It's perfectly good to try to get this, you know, this time of possession back, swing back a little bit the other way. And that's another thing. The complementary ability to do that we did not do.
And the middle eight is something that means a lot. Last four of the first four of the second. I mean, we hear a lot of coaches, some more than others, really talk about that. That's a big thing for you, right?
It is, and we have. If there's one thing that we have done really in all games, we have really kind of handled that at least the first four, the last 4 minutes of the first half, in a lot of really good ways. And we didn't capitalize, obviously, in the Alabama game, but it was exactly the way you had scripted it out, like having an opportunity to hold the ball and possess it at the end. And we all know what happened. And then the same thing as we were going into half this past week. It was like, okay, let's do this thing the right way. And we did. We didn't end up capitalizing. We didn't score right there before half. I think there's something we left out on the field right there. It's the start of the second halves, and that's where – you know, we've got to find a better way. We came out the second half, went 3-and-out. Now, the D did get a 3-and-out, but then we had a turnover.
And the turnover came from somebody who's a really good return guy, too. I mean, it happens. It's, you know, yeah, I don't know how you handle that.
We've been asked a lot of questions already.
And yeah.
There's not like you just go, okay, we'll go back to the bank and, okay, who's the next guy? Like, that's
this guy's
one of those,
good.
That's one of those difficult situations, right? I mean, you know, talk about having enough confidence in guys. I think there's some things we can do better, and it's not put in other guys. It's, okay, what is the situation? And I don't mean like, okay, hey, be passive now. Let's just fair catch the thing or let it roll.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's not what I mean. But, you know, hey, if you're running downhill on the ball, things are getting crowded, it's perfectly fine to be able to fair catch things and just give you the piece that they can't hit you, you know. So just catch the football. And so I think those are some of the mature things and the things we can do. But, you know, I mean, Tyrell Henry and Benny Anthony are the two guys that have returned punts for us, both to put one on the ground. But I don't know that it's just like, hey, okay, let's go to the next guy. Mm-hmm. We believe in those guys, and we're going to keep giving them opportunities. We think we just got to take some – be smarter in some of those situations.
Yeah, and he had the big kick return at the end of that game. But I'm sure you've heard a bunch on the 4th-and-1. There's a lot of fans that are kind of wondering, well, why not just go under center? It's closer. How do you, and I know, you know, Phil Longo's got his style, and how do you, I guess, if you were going to answer that question, how do you answer it?
I answer it by when it's the most critical times, you do what you do. And if that's not being under center at a lot of times, I think that there sometimes gets to situations where that's not the best thing that you do. And I go back to 4 years ago, or 3 years ago, whatever it was, we had sealed a game at Cincinnati to go to the championship, and we made a stop and got the ball on the 1 yard line, and you know there's like 45 seconds to go in the game, but they had 2 timeouts, so you had to run a play, and I'm like, hey, just sneak the thing, and so we go up under there and sneak it.
Fumble.
He drops the ball, and they recover it on the 1 yard line or 2 yard line. And I remember just looking at the quarterback, Desmond Ridders. He came over, and I go, what happened? He goes, I dropped it. And you're like, okay, let's go. We end up stopping him, so it all worked out. But, I mean, like, so there are situations, obviously, I think, in some sneak situations that you got to be able to do some things. We've been under center in some situations. We just got to execute. And you know, so I'm not saying that we would fumble the ball if we went under center. But I think in the most critical times, it's the same thing defensively. Who are you and what do you do? You know, it was 4th-and-1. We had an opportunity to make a stop. You know, this is who we are. This is what we do. And they beat us at it. And so we got to do a better job. It's not like, hey, scrap that defense because on 4th-and-1, you know, we got chopped and the quarterback pulled it and he made a guy miss and he went in the end zone for 6 yards. Like, it's not really the defense. It's not really the call. It's more saying, hey, what are we comfortable with and what can we execute?
Yep.
One of the biggest 4th-and-1s, maybe the biggest 4th-and-1 last year, was in overtime of the Nebraska game. You went shotgun. You made it. Nobody talked about it.
No, right? There's plenty of times. I mean, we can go back to the Iowa one we didn't make. I mean,
sure.
You know, obviously they're great when they're made, and they're not when they don't. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with the punt return, right? I mean, well, we should have fair caught that there. We should have, you know, that thing we should have let roll. It's one of those tough things. But, you know, that's why you practice, right? I mean, you were out there today. We're going to do some short yard situations, and you're going to see the same looks and expect that your guys are going to, you know, be able to execute. And it doesn't mean you don't have a chance to be able to change and adapt and do some other things too. And I think that's still the process of, hey, what's going to give us the best chance to be able to execute and give our guys the greatest opportunity to be aggressive. And that, to me, is how you win in those situations, in the most critical situations.
All right, we'll take a break in our remaining minutes with Coach Fickell. We'll get a little thumbnail sketch of the Purdue Boilermakers. This is the Luke Fickell Show, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Back in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
Born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk, drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Hey Badger fans, the 2024 football season is here, and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the touchdown celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin football games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
Need reliable waste and recycling services? Choose LRS. Driven by service and dedicated to sustainability, we're your partner in efficient waste management. Need more? We also offer convenient dumpster rentals and clean portable restrooms for any event or project. Trust LRS for all your waste needs. Visit LRSRecycles.com to sign up for service. That's LRSRecycles.com.
Hey Badger fans, ready or not, Wisconsin winter will be here before you know it. Trust your knowledgeable AirQuest dealer to deliver comfort and exceptional efficiency with an advanced heating and cooling system from AirQuest. To find the AirQuest dealer near you, visit AirQuestComfort.com and ask about our local utility rebates, financing for qualified buyers, and tax credits of up to $2,600. Surround yourself with affordable, long-lasting comfort with AirQuest. That's AirQuestComfort.com, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
The Kohl Center, Camp Randall, the Fieldhouse. This is where the magic happens, where the best players lead with passion, fight with power, and win with exceptional performance. And now it's time we add another house to our Badger community. Meet Madison's newest powerhouse player, UW Health East Park Medical Center, home of top doctors and advanced treatments, all under one roof. So no matter the opponent, we're the place to defeat it. UW Health, remarkable.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of the Big Win and Madison Casino Guru, is transforming guests into winners. Making an ordinary day into a big win day is easy with a 95% average payout. And with over 140 daily jackpots, the number of people winning has never been bigger. So what are you waiting for? Escape to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison for your next big win.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison.
We continue with the Luke Fickell Show, Camp Randall Live, as we get you ready for game number 5 on Saturday. Badgers taking on the Purdue Boilermakers. Sold-out crowd will be there. Not a sold-out, but a sold-out crowd at Camp Randall for the Badgers and the Boilers. Luke, we're talking with Coach Whitlow a little bit about their group offensively. They're going to have – they made a change with their offensive coordinator, so – find out together what kind of tweaks they have. But as we were talking earlier this afternoon, this quarterback's been around. He was at Texas for a few years and now a veteran in this Purdue system, Hudson Card. But that running game, as Coach Whitlow talked about, that gets your attention, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. They've made some really, really big plays in the run game. I think I think they're averaging like 8 yards a play on stretch and in some formations in like some duo 10 formations. I mean, like, they've really done a good job. I think it's a combination. I think the backs are really good. They understand what it is they're doing in some of these stretch. But I think they do a really good job up front, the center being one in particular that just gets the thing going and gives those guys some opportunities. They just haven't capitalized on them. And they had a 70-yard run against Oregon State and then stall it out and don't get any points out of it. So they've run the ball really well. And notoriously, like you said, their offense is built around slinging it and throwing it. But that's where it's kind of a misinformation. Like, is it really, are they a throwing team or are they a running team? I think they've done both, but I think they've really been pretty dynamic in running the football this year.
That doesn't happen often, right? Where they fire offensive coordinator midseason and try to figure out how does that change?
I don't
your
know.
Prep? How does
I,
that change your prep?
I've never been around it. You know, I've never been a part of it, so I don't know exactly what it entails. I don't, you know, do we really know? I mean, maybe the last 3 weeks it's been that way, mm-hmm. and somebody else has been calling it and you just don't know it, right? Maybe they just finally, you know, announced it or somebody walked away. So you could speculate, you could try to figure things out. You're never going to know until Saturday at 11 o'clock if they're that much different and what is it they're going to be and do different. So we just got to keep preparing and you know, got to have the ability to be able to adapt and adjust.
And you usually say it's about you guys anyway, right?
It is. But you do like to, as you get into the season, usually you start to get a better grasp on preparing your guys for the things they're going to see. But when there is some uncertainty maybe and some things that can change, you do kind of got to go back and just, you know, maybe sometimes be simplistic in what you're doing and being ready to adapt.
And you're constantly just chasing consistency. And so when you go out there Saturday morning, what's going to be that message to your guys?
Well, I think it is. It's the winning habits. You know, it's regardless if all of a sudden they come out and do something different offensively or if they do something different defensively. I mean, when it really comes down to it, it's the winning habits that matter. It's not, did we call a stretch play or did we call an under center play on fourth down, right? Is it a certain defense? Is it the same defense that they made it on fourth and one? It's not the call that gives you a chance to be successful. It's the habits that you've created. It's the ability to execute. And it's the ability to play physical and fast. And so I don't know that it's some special, right? I mean, like, there's going to be some speech that's going to get these things all kind of turned around. And there's a speech at halftime that's going to give us a chance to play better when we come out the second half than we did. Like, no, it's really the things that you do the entire week and the consistency that we can have as leaders to be the example to what we expect from them when they go out there on Saturday.
As Mark mentioned, we watch, you know, it's nice, a little chilly up there, but we're up like five floors.
It's starting to get to be suntime.
Yeah, a little bit. But you got the music going. Brady's doing his thing with the guys getting them to you see, it seems from level five that everybody has still got a lot of bounce. Are you getting that vibe? They can't wait to get back on the field.
No, they do. And I mean, I think that Jack Del Rio, who obviously has got a little bit of a different perspective, and he was really impressed. He said Sunday, I was so surprised. I don't know what I expected, but those guys came out there and went about their business, ran around, did the things. He's like, I'm not used to that in the NFL a day after the game and even a travel game in some situations. And that's what it has been. That consistency hasn't changed with those guys. They really do have a good attitude. They want to do the things the right way. They want to be able to create it and they work at it. It's a process that, you know, some of us can't quite put a finger on to say exactly why maybe some things haven't happened. But I feel like they're the same way, but they haven't changed the attitude. They haven't changed the way they work about things.
Yeah. A couple of minutes left. Tell us, what was that like with the Packers? If you had a long flight back, if it was a tough game, what was that first day like?
Well, I mean, it always depended. If it was, you know, a hard-fought, tough loss, you just get back at it. And I think that's what's been encouraging is you see it's got to be about the attitude. And just even when you win, you can enjoy it. It's obviously a heck of a lot more fun on the ride back. But it always has to be what's the next thing. You enjoy it for the 24 hours, and then it's what's next. And you go through that prep, and, you know, we're all creatures of habit. We want to find our routine, and we want to stick to it. And I think the teams that can withstand those tough losses and, you know, prep, get ready for the next one, and on the same respect, handle success,
that's, I think, where you – that's how you build a culture that you can win on a consistent basis.
Yeah, Barry, I think with you guys always talked about the 24-hour rule. Whatever that is for it, – it's a similar – I don't know if it's 24 hours, but it's a similar thing. Hey, learn –
hopefully it is 24, but sometimes you play them night games and it's like 17 12. Hours. Yeah, you don't get quite as much time, but it is. I mean, that's – but that's what you're learning. That's the process. I think that's what young guys have the most difficult thing with in when they take this step to the next level. And, you know, they're not used to having to turn the page so fast, right? I mean, it's not what you did in high school. Maybe you played on Friday and you didn't go back in and do much. Maybe you ran around on Saturday and then you practiced on Monday. It was just, you know, so they're just different. And we've got some young guys, and whether guys that came from, you know, some other places. We talked about one in Elijah Hills. Now, he's done a great job, but John Pius and some of those guys that just, you know, sometimes it just takes a little bit more for them to understand what this process looks like, what that routine of being a pro looks like, and how you have to be able to turn the page so quick and move on to the next one.
All right. Appreciate your time, as always. Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate
Badgers
it.
Head Coach Luke Fickell back to wrap things up in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
It's time for Badger football. Get ready to plan your trip to Camp Randall this fall and enjoy our time-honored traditions like Jump Around and the iconic tunes of the Wisconsin Marching Band. With great tickets still available, you can join the crowd for exciting matchups against longtime conference foes like Penn State and brand-new Big Ten rival Oregon. Don't miss your chance to experience Badger football game day. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Which schools will take home the prestigious Learfield Directors Cup as the top college athletic programs for the 2024-25 college athletics season? You can follow the standings of your favorite team or alma mater at L Directors Cup on Twitter and online at thedirectorscup.com. Trophies will be awarded in June 2025 to the winning institutions in all college sports divisions. Learfield Directors Cup, the crowning achievement in college athletics.
Join the Wisconsin Department of Corrections and make a positive impact on lives across the state. Enjoy an excellent state benefits package and a nationally ranked pension program. The Wisconsin DOC is seeking to hire licensed psychologists and other mental health clinicians looking for a rewarding career providing vital mental health services to those in our care. To learn more and to apply, go to wisc.jobs. That's WISC.jobs.
At Jones, we make our sausage, bacon, and ham the traditional way, with simple ingredients and a commitment to distinctive quality. But what we're really proud of is how they taste. Our bacon is dry-aged. Almost no other manufacturer takes the time to do that. And our all-natural roll sausage is made with just three ingredients: pork, salt, and spices. That's it. It's attention to detail and quality that you can taste in every bite. At Jones, we've been making breakfast better since 1889, and we're a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Go Badgers!
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
Coors Light presents To Chill or Not To Chill. When your friend skips your favorite song on the playlist, end the friendship. Or choose chill because that song lives rent-free in your head anyway. And you planned ahead by bringing Coors Light to the party. And the sound of that ice-cold can cracking open was music to your ears already. Coors Light. Choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hi, it's Matt LePay, voice of the Badgers. On the field, the Badgers are always on the move. Off the field, that's where Evans Transportation comes in. As Wisconsin's 3PL, they move over 30,000 shipments a year right here in the Badger State. That's dedication to keep things moving here in Scotty. Evans is excited to support Badger student athletes and is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Find them at evanstrans.com. That's evanstrans.com. Go Badgers!
Hey Badger fans, it's Tyler Van Dyke, quarterback for Wisconsin football. Join us in taking the Badgers to the next level with a Camp Randall Club membership, you can help us achieve greatness on and off the field. In return, you'll get exclusive experiences, inside access, and opportunities to connect with student athletes like never before. Camp Randall Club has its vision set on victory. Do you? Visit CampRandallClub.com today to join.
Rosen is caught. Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Great segment about wine. Thanks to Jeff Beckman filling us in, huh?
Jeff's the guru.
He's that well. You might be as well.
Well,
I'll
I
tell
mean,
you what.
2 weeks up there. I'm slowly but surely going to catch Jeff and Marv, but I don't know if I'll ever get to that point.
Yeah, that's all right. No, we appreciate it. We appreciate these guys being here as always. You can see these guys be back on track. Got like half a minute left here. Something to feel good about. Long way to go here this season.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's been obviously a couple of really good teams, and I just think we saw glimpses of what we need to be in order to be what we want to be. So now it's just let's consistently do that. And if you do, good things ahead.
9 o'clock airtime, 11 o'clock kick. We'll talk to you Saturday for the Badgers and the Boilers on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You've been listening to the Luke Fickell Radio Show, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Find your next new or used car at ZimbrickFishHatcheryRoad.com. Also brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Weekend happenings news-wise and also a little sports, and get you ready for the week ahead. Don't miss it. Join us right here on Civic Media.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Worldwide Schoolhouse, behind us, the birthplace of the Republican Party, executive director of the Ripon Area Chamber of Commerce, Mandy Kimes.
Whether you love politics or you aren't even interested, there is something here, because those ideals and values and lessons and courage can influence us today to be active citizens and to be willing to take a stand. And really, ordinary people in an ordinary place doing extraordinary things.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.